this is Keith, and you're listening to the Retro Radio Podcast. I usually do a longer introduction, but today's show is a very long one, so let's get started.
Welcome to the Retro Radio Podcast.
We have a special feature from 1939. It's the four audition shows of The Adventures of Superman.
For more details about the auditions, please visit the homepage and read the show notes.
Now, here's our feature.
Boys and girls, your attention please. The Blank Corporation presents a brand new radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality. Faster than an airplane, more powerful than a locomotive, impervious to bullets. Superman, a being no larger than an ordinary man, but possessed of powers and abilities never before realized on Earth. Able to leap into the air an eighth of a mile at a single bound, hurdle a 20-story building with ease, race a high-powered bullet to its target, lift tremendous weights, and rend solid steel in his bare hands as though it were paper. Superman, strange visitor from a distant planet, champion of the oppressed, physical marvel extraordinary, who has sworn to devote his existence on Earth to helping those in need. But before we bring you the almost unbelievable story of how Superman arrived on Earth, a message from the Blank Corporation, makers of Blanco, that extra-rich, full-flavored breakfast food with a new taste thrill. Now for the story of Superman. And as it begins, we ask you to come with us on a far journey. A journey that takes us millions of miles from Earth, where the planet Krypton burns like a green star in the endless heavens. Here, civilization is far advanced. It has brought forth a race of supermen, men and women like ourselves, but advanced to the absolute peak of human perfection. As we near Krypton, we see high walls and gleaming turrets. We approach the magnificent Temple of Wisdom. There, in a great hall, Jor-El, Krypton's foremost man of science, is addressing a meeting of the planet's governing council.
Attention, gentlemen. Attention. Jor-El speaks.
Members of the council, I have completed my solar calculations, and much as I dread uttering these words, I have come to the conclusion Krypton is doomed.
Gentlemen, 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 hear him out.
These internal quakes we have been experiencing, these volcanic eruptions, tidal waves, gas escaping from giant craters, all point to only one thing. Krypton is utterly and finally doomed.
One moment. There is no cause for anxiety. I am certain Jor-El has made a mistake. True, we have had a few minor quakes and eruptions, but nothing very serious. There must be some error in your calculation, Jor-El.
No, no, there is no error, Roseanne. I only wish there were. The sun is gradually drawing Krypton closer to it. Within a month, possibly only a week, the gravitational pull will be so tremendous that Krypton will not be able to weather the strain. And then, our planet will explode like a giant bubble, destroying every living thing on it.
Assuming for the moment, Jor-El, that what you say is true, how are we to avoid it? What can we do to stop it?
There is only one way. As you all know, I have been working on a spaceship designed for interplanetary travel. With time and united effort, we might transport the entire population of Krypton to another world.
Impossible. Where would we go?
To the Earth. My studies tell me the atmosphere of the Earth is very nearly the same as our own.
You have been working too hard, Jor-El. You need a rest. Now, believe me, we have the utmost respect for your knowledge and integrity, but this is carrying it too far. Planets as large as Krypton do not explode, Jor-El.
Do you hear that? It is a forewarning of doom. Every moment is precious now.
shall find us all ready. If Krypton is to die, we shall die with it. The parting would be much too severe.
All right. Glad for you, my dear son. And you, members of the council. I have no time to laugh. My wife, Lara, and my infant son are dear to me. It is not my wish to stand by and see them destroyed. Laugh, all of you. But a time will come, and that time is perhaps very close at hand, when you will wish you had heeded the words of your elf. Now you think me a fool. But remember what I have said, gentlemen. When Krypton is shattered into 1,000,000,000 stars, when the glorious civilization we have built is no more, when you and your families are swept from the face of Krypton like dust.
Order. Order, gentlemen. Order. You have had your elves speak. Is it your wish that we devote time and money to the building of spaceships for the transportation of Krypton's population to another planet?
No!
I am sorry, Jor-El. The Council has spoken.
Yes. And signed the death warrants of every living thing on Krypton. Well, I have done my best to convince you. Now all that remains for me is to proceed with my own means of salvation. My own spaceship, to save the lives of those near and dear to me. As for the rest of you, may the gods have mercy on your soul. Lara, you here?
I came out to take the air on the terrace. It's terribly hot all day. Is that because we're being drawn to the sun, Jor-El?
Yes.
What did the council have to say about that?
I didn't mention it.
Is the model of your spaceship almost finished?
I just drove the last rivet. How does it look?
Splendid. Will it work?
That remains to be seen. If it does work, I shall immediately begin construction of another just like it, only much larger. One big enough to carry all three of us to another world.
Jor-El, when will that be? Every moment that we spend waiting and wondering...
Yes, I know, Lara. It's been hard on all of us, and particularly hard on you. How is the boy?
Sleeping. That quake this afternoon frightened him, but he's all right now. Can't you come in and look at him? You scarcely see him these days, what with working all hours on the spaceship model.
It can't be helped, dear. I'm racing against time. Right now, I'm anxious to know whether the model will behave as I hope.
How does it operate?
Very simply. When all is ready, I throw this switch. That closes the circuit, and electric energy builds up pressure in the atomic generator. Then, at the final moment, the pressure forces the ship from its carrier and speeds it on its way.
But where does it go?
Wherever it's pointed. This one, I am directing to the planet Earth.
Earth? What is that, Jor-El?
A planet smaller than our own, situated on the other side of the sun. It is inhabited by a race of people similar to ourselves.
Like ourselves?
Well, only partly, of course. They're about the same size, but nowhere nearly as developed. Very weak and helpless, and with all their faculties extremely limited.
How do you mean?
Well, I haven't time to go into detailed explanation now, Lara, but it's something like this. You know how far you step when you want to go somewhere?
Practically as far as I want. Why, one step takes me to Brata's house near the fountain.
Exactly. Down where I'm sending this rocket, it's quite different. An Earthman steps only 3 feet at a time, at most. And everything else is in proportion.
And that's where we're going? Oh, how dreadful.
Which you'd rather do? Go to Earth and live, or stay on Krypton and die?
I'll do anything you say, Jor-El. Anything. It doesn't matter to me whether we live or die as long as we're together. It's only the boy I worry about.
Little Kal-El. Lara, don't worry. You'll be saved.
When will the model be finished so that you can start on the big one?
It is finished. In the morning, just as dawn breaks, I'll send it on its way, watching its flight through a high-powered telescope to see whether it lands safely on Earth.
Is that the place you plan to take Kal-El and me?
We could not breathe on any other planet but the Earth. It happens to have an atmosphere similar to Krypton.
I suppose you know best, Jor-El. Are you coming in? Seems to have gotten oppressively hot.
Yes, it has. I wonder... Lara, did you hear that?
Yes. What is it?
Subterranean explosions. Do you feel the ground trembling?
Yes, I do. Jor-El, do you think
Lara,
that...
Lara, I'm afraid it's come. Where is the boy?
I'm not ready. Oh, what a fool I've been to delay.
Oh, it isn't your fault, Jor-El. You did all you could.
If only the spaceship was large enough so we could take a chance.
Jor-El, would it carry one of us safely to Earth?
Oh, I think so. Where are you going? Stay here with me.
I'm getting cut out. If one of us can be saved, Jor-El, it should be the boy.
No, Lara, come back. If one must go, it should be you. Maybe you're right, Lara.
Jor-El, look. The sky is fiery red. The mountains. Look, the mountains are falling in. Oh, Jor-El, what's happening?
The end of Krypton, Lara. Just as I foretold. This is the last great quake.
Jor-El, this is an explosion.
Quick, give me the boy.
Kal-El. What are you doing, Jor-El?
Opening the door, putting the fire.
Jor-El, the house is
swaying.
Break
your heart. Oh, look,
Jor-El.
There. He's safe and sound. Now for the switch. Stand back, Lara.
Oh, Jor-El, will he reach the earth?
Only the gods know. But there's a chance. The only chance. Stand back, Lara. I'm throwing the switch.
Oh, Jor-El. Jor-El, it's getting dark. I can't see. What happened?
Fire. Smoke from the center of the planet. Not much time now.
Hold me, Jor-El. Has the spaceship gone?
No, not yet. Waiting for pressure. We may have been too late. If it doesn't work up soon... Lara, it's off. It's on its way.
Jor-El, where are you?
Here beside you, Lara. Listen, can you hear me? Our boy, Kal-El. Our son, Lara. He's on his way. On his way to Earth.
So the tiny spaceship roars into the uncharted heavens as the mighty planet of Krypton explodes into millions of glowing fragments, glittering stars to remain forever in the night sky. Jor-El and Lara, devoted parents of the tiny boy, perish in the giant quake that destroys Krypton. But what of the spaceship? Does it reach the Earth? Does it find its mark in all the far-flung darkness of space? Tune in tomorrow and follow the story of...
Up in the sky! Look!
It's a giant bird!
It's a plane! It's Superman!
Superman! Don't forget, tomorrow, same time, same station, The Adventures of Superman. Brought to you by the Blank Corporation, makers of Blanco.
Hi, this is Keith from the Retro Radio Podcast, and here's one way how you can support the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com. Just visit our webpage, click on the forum link, or you can visit retro-otr.com/forum. You don't need to even sign up for an account. You can just read the posts. But to participate, you just click the link that says register, and you'll be sent an email for email confirmation. And once that process is completed and you log in, you will be able to participate in the forums. You will be able to add your own posts and topics.
You can even leave comments on show notes when you're logged in.
And we hope to see you there and have some conversations with you there. So we hope you do that. And thanks for your support.
The Blank Company, makers of that extra special Blankarine, food of supermen, presents... Superman, eighth wonder of the modern world, visitor from a distant planet whose strength knows no limits and whose endurance is beyond anything humanity has ever known. Champion on Earth of the weak and helpless, whose aim is to rescue the suffering and bring help to all who need and deserve it. And remember this, if you too would be a Superman, and now, Superman. Yesterday, we saw how the child of Jor-El and Lara was placed in the rocket ship and sent on his way to Earth, while his parents died in the terrible explosion that wiped the planet of Krypton from the universe. Today, as our story continues, the child has become a man. The rocket landed in a desert. Superman stepped forth full-grown to explore this strange new world in which he found himself. Swifter than a bird in flight, unaffected by cold, hunger, or fatigue, Superman set out to investigate the ways of man on his planet Earth. We find him at last hovering with his curious power above a quiet highway in Indiana. The road, with its trolley track at one side, winds to the top of a hill where the suburban cars stop to let off passengers, then down again to the valley below with a winding curve at the bottom. A trolley is just pulling up the hill, and as Superman wheels and turns in curious flight, unseen below, a man and a boy come out of the shed that serves as waiting room.
Here she comes, Dad.
Yeah, right on time, too. I told you so, Jimmy.
Gee, I hope it stops all right.
Now, don't worry. It's slowing down.
Does it always sway like that, Dad?
Oh, sometimes, but it's all right.
Don't seem to be many people on board.
Yeah, it's the middle of the week. Light traffic.
Morning, Professor. Going into town?
Well, I hope so, John. Taking Jimmy to the fair.
Hey, great show, all right. Well, I reckon you're my only passengers. Make yourself at home. I'm going to get me a drink.
Why, Dad, we've got it all to ourselves.
Yeah, regular private car.
Where'd the motorman go?
Oh, just over at the spring. Mighty hot day.
You'd better hurry. If he doesn't, he'll get left behind.
Can't start without the motorman.
Well, we are.
Huh?
Look, Dad.
What? John, where are you?
Daddy, what's happened? I want to get out.
The brakes. Something's happened to the brakes.
Let's get out quick. Open the doors.
They're jammed. They're tight shut.
We're going faster and faster. We're going downhill. What are we going to do?
Jimmy, come here.
The window. Out the window, Dad. Get it open. Smash it.
Wait.
Jump, Dad. Jump.
No. It's too late. It's going too fast.
We've got to. Look, there ahead. There's a tree.
Jimmy.
A tree's falling right on the track.
Look. There in the sky. It's a man.
He's flying.
It can't be. It's not possible.
He's coming straight at us. He's swooping down.
Quick. Grab hold of me.
No, put me down. Let go.
Doc, what are you picking me up for?
Get away. Put me down.
I'm saving your life.
Daddy, he's picking me up. Out the window.
Jimmy.
One more second. Now then.
Daddy.
One under each arm. Out the window. And up in the air. Up. Up. And we're off.
I don't know what to say.
Quite all right, Professor. Pulling you and the boy out of that car was nothing.
I can't believe it.
Who are you, anyway? Where do you come from?
I have no name. I come from a world that no longer exists. Here in this world of yours, men would call me a Superman.
It's a dream, a wild, impossible dream.
But, Daddy, it happened. We saw it. He flew down, took us under his arm.
And out of the car, that's all. Nothing so strange about that.
You saved our lives, Jimmy's and mine. I don't understand even now, but I'm grateful.
Are you, Professor?
Do you doubt it?
Would you do something to prove it?
Would we? Anything at all?
Then make me a promise. Promise that you'll say nothing at all about what's happened.
What? Don't you want people to know?
Not just yet. I want no one to know, except those I help. Will you promise?
If you wish.
I do. Believe me.
Then you have our word. Is that all?
No. You've given me your promise. Now I want your advice.
You want advice from us?
You know this world. I am a stranger. You know the people in it. And I have still to find them out.
You want to meet men, is that it?
Not meet them, Professor. Observe them. Study them. See them at their best and their worst. Know which to help and when help is needed. If you can tell me that.
Daddy, can we help him?
Well, I think so, Jimmy. If that's what he wants and all he wants.
To me, it's a great deal.
My friend, If we can call you that.
I hope we can.
My first friends on this earth.
To mingle with people, to see men at the highest and lowest, if that's what you want, go to a newspaper, a great metropolitan daily.
A newspaper? I'll do it.
And join their staff. Be a reporter.
But you can't do it in those clothes. Not that blue costume with the cloak and the shield on your breast. Gee, you just couldn't.
Jimmy, these are the cloak and the shield of Superman. If I become as other men... Professor, I'll do it. I'll take your advice. And I thank you for it.
Well, no thanks. If there were only something more...
There is. Remember your promise. And now, goodbye. I've stayed too long, and I'm off. Goodbye.
Dad, look, he's flying again.
City desk. White.
Passing chase. You better get somebody on that tall place in the story right away.
Anything broke?
It looks bad. I don't know where your dope came from, but it sure was right.
Where are you now?
At the yard, on the top. If I were you, I'd have somebody watch the man they call McCray.
McCray?
That's what I do, Chief. Watch him, trail him, follow him every minute. McCray is at the bottom of this, sure as you're born. Hey, I gotta beat it. Somebody's coming. So long.
Excuse me, Mr. White. That young man's still waiting.
What young? Oh, the one who wrote the letter, huh? Well, let him wait. Who we got that's free?
McCann's on the coast. Grayson's down in Virginia. Most of the day, men are full up.
Oh, I knew it. Confound it. Always the way. Something breaks and nobody to handle it.
What is it, Mr. White?
Railroad. Sabotage. I didn't believe it, but there may be something in it after all. If there is...
Yes, sir?
If there is, Miss Lane, it'll be the biggest story since Lindbergh. And me shorthanded. Oh, what's the use?
Yes, sir. About that man.
Oh, send him in. Send him in.
Yes, sir. Come in, Mr. Kent. Mr. White will see you now. Thank
you. Sit down. You want to see me?
Yes, sir. My name is Kent. Clark Kent.
What can I do for you, Mr. Kent?
Well, Mr. White, you can give me work, I hope.
Work? On the paper?
Yes, sir. I'd like to be a reporter.
Oh, you'd like to be a reporter? Floyd Gibbons in disguise?
No, sir. Not Floyd Gibbons.
Ever done any reporting?
No, sir.
No, sir? But you think you'd be a whiz, eh? I know. I'm sorry. It's just the same.
You haven't any openings?
Not for greenhorns. I'm sorry if I'm blunt.
But, Mr. White, even if I am a greenhorn, suppose I brought you a good story.
And where would you get it? I'm afraid you'll have to excuse me, Mr. Kent.
A really good story?
Such as?
Such as the complete inside on the man called McCray on the Southwestern Railroad.
Yes. What's that?
You heard me. Do you want that story?
Do I want it? Well, I should say I do. But look here.
I think I could get it for you, Mr. White.
What do you know about McCray?
A little bit.
Where'd you even hear his name?
In connection with railroads, Mr. White.
Stop beating about the bush. I only heard the beginning of that myself yesterday morning. Not a paper in the country has carried a line. And yet you...
And yet I come in here and talk about it. I think I can do something with that, Mr. White.
Now look here, Kent. Mysterious secret messages have threatened to tie up every railroad in the country. Beginning with the Southwest...
My goodness, Mr. White.
For a while, the road paid no attention. Then the crack flyer on the PNR went off a bridge.
Yes, I read about that.
Yeah, naturally. But you didn't read about the warnings, because they weren't printed.
Weren't printed?
No, and they won't be. Not until the FBI in Washington has checked all the angles, and then this man McCray...
Oh, yes. Yes, McCray.
Well, where do you come in? How did you get to know McCray? Excuse me. City desk, White.
My friend, tomorrow night the Flying U leaves Denver for the West. It will not arrive in Salt Lake City.
Hey, what's that? Who's this?
I have been called McCray. That is all.
Hey, come back here. Wait. Who was that just called me? Trace it. Find out where he was.
Ah, nuts. Beg pardon, sir, but if that call did come from McCray, I should be inclined to believe it.
How do you know who that was?
I should warn the officials in charge of the Flying Ute.
Now, look here. You couldn't hear that phone. What is this?
As I was saying, Mr. White, suppose I brought you a good story. A really good story. The story of how the Flying Ute was wrecked on its way to Salt Lake.
I take chances, Kent. I'm going to take a chance on you.
Thank you, Mr. White.
It's 2,000 miles. You'll have to hop a plane.
I'll get there, Mr. White, in spite of the weather.
Good Lord, I hadn't noticed. Well, get to the airport anyway.
You rang, Mr. White?
Miss Lane, this is Clark Kent, temporarily attached to our staff.
You'll note I said temporarily.
Yes, sir.
Kent leaves for the west for the first plane. Get him tickets and a $200 advance.
Mr. White, all planes are grounded.
That's all right, Mr. White. I'll get there.
Take him outside and show him what he needs to know.
Mr. White, I'd like to thank you.
Oh, let it go, Kent. Let it go. Get a story and you get a job. You're either clairvoyant or the luckiest guesser alive. Either way, I can use you. But if you miss out, well...
This way, Mr. Kent.
Thank you, Miss Lane. Good of you to show me around.
Pretty lucky, I'll say. 100 good newspaper men walking the streets, and you walk right into a job.
I say, I am lucky.
You wait in here. The anteroom to the cashier's office.
Well, I really don't need an advance.
Playboy in disguise, eh? I said wait here.
Ah, what a beast of an evening.
Don't fall out that window. It's 20 stories down.
Beautiful view. Even in the fog.
You wait right here till I get your money. Then I'll introduce you to a few real newspaper men.
Plane's grounded. 2,000 miles to go. Nobody's looking. I'm afraid I can't wait.
I do hope I didn't keep you waiting.
Nobody went through the city room.
He didn't go out. I left him right here at the window.
What?
The open window. He went through it, and it's 20 stories down.
What are you saying? What do you mean by that? I don't understand.
Out the window, 20 stories above the ground. In the wink of an eye, meek Clark Kent, cub reporter for the Daily Flash, becomes Superman, eagle of the sky, winging his way west over city and plain, river and mountain. But will he be in time? Can he checkmate the strange figure called McCrae, discover the plot, save the flying Ute roaring toward Denver at 90 miles an hour? Tune in tomorrow and follow the story. And meanwhile... remember, tomorrow, same time, same station.
In the sky, look!
Hi, this is Keith with the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com. Here's one way how you can support the Retro Radio Podcast. Visit our homepage at retro-otr.com. Click on the GoDaddy advertisement. GoDaddy is a way where you can purchase a domain name for your very own webpage. You can even purchase server space and build your own webpage right from GoDaddy. But just by clicking on that link and making a purchase of one of their products, you will be supporting the Retro Radio Podcast. Well, I hope you do, and I thank you for your support.
The Blank Company, makers of that extra special Blankarine, food of supermen, presents... Once again, we bring you the adventures of Superman, wonder of wonders, man of marvels, visitor to the Earth from the planet Krypton, which exploded into a million stars and wiped out the race of which Superman is the last remaining example. Superman stands for fairness and strength and endurance, too. So if you would be a junior Superman, a member of the constantly growing Supermen of America, remember the rules of our organization. First, help the weak and helpless. Second, train heart and hand and mind to patriotic service. Third, build up your own strength and endurance and vitality by insisting on those regular every morning platefuls of Blankarine. And now, Superman. Boys and girls, your attention, please. This week we bring you a new story of how Superman brought help to the United States Navy and met for the first time a ruthless foreign agent known as the Shark. It begins in the office of the managing editor of the New York Daily Flash, where Paris White, drawn and pale, sits at his desk in conference with reporter Clark Kent. You know Kent's secret, and so do I. But as he sits there respectfully listening to his chief, No hint escapes that the young, mild-mannered leg man for the Daily Flash is in reality the strange visitor from another world. Spectacles hide the queer lights in his eyes. An ordinary blue serge suit conceals the smooth ripple and flow of muscular strength beyond anything man has ever known. The power of Superman is subdued as Kent listens to his chief unfold a startling tale.
Shut the door, Kent. Now then, get this quickly and get it straight. It's unusual and it may be dangerous. Not married, are you?
Married? Oh, no, Chief.
I didn't think so, but it's well to be sure. If you go down there to Newport News, I hope you come back.
What?
That is, I want you to come back on your feet, and not in a box.
Chief, what makes you think I...
You know Grayson, don't you?
Bob Grayson?
Probably one of our best men. Maybe the very best. Well, Grayson left for Newport News 5 days ago with orders to report by telephone every day at 8 o'clock. On Wednesday, that's day before yesterday, he called and said he'd have something sensational any minute.
You mean a sensational story?
I don't ask questions, just listen. Then there was a funny noise at the other end, and that's the last we've heard from Grayson.
My goodness, Chief.
So now you're going to Newport News to see what's happening and also to find Grayson.
Yes, sir. Can you tell me what's going on? I mean, what's supposed to be going on?
Well, listen, and remember, this is in the strictest confidence. I know because... Well, never mind. Just believe me when I say that I do know. You've heard of the Y-boats?
Only vaguely.
Kent, the Y-boats are America's newest submarines. That is, they will be when they're built. One of them is built and almost ready to be launched.
Oh, where?
Newport News.
When?
That's what I don't know and can't find out. And now get this. The Shark has decided that the first Y-boat shall not be launched at all.
The Shark?
You remember the Benson affair? That was the Shark, Kent. So was the business of the Army's anti-aircraft gun. The Shark is a freelance, apparently with a tremendous organization, operating solely for his own good, profit.
I understand, sir. What's good for the Shark is bad for us.
Bad for all of us, Kent. For you and me and America. That Y-boat down there in Newport News is America's greatest contribution to naval development.
I understand.
Maybe you see now why the Shark is so interested. Obviously, Kent, he's being paid and paid well.
By whom?
I don't know. And the FBI doesn't either. We hope to find out. Meanwhile, we'd also like to find out what happened to Commander Richards.
Who's he? Another reporter?
Well, now, here's all I know. All anybody knows. Commander Richards is the designer of the Y-boats. The one man that knows its secrets from stem to stern. The man who has had charge of the actual building from the day the keel was laid and who will see it through to the launching. Spends all his time on the boat. Never goes off even to sleep. But he's off now. Now listen, Kent. Listen carefully. On Monday, Grayson called and said that Richards had been in the commander's quarters of the Y-boat. With him was the regular watchman. And Richards was chatting with him to pass the time.
It's getting late. There goes 6 bells.
Yes, it is late. You spend the night on the boat, the same as always?
Yes, certainly. Can't afford to take chances now. Everybody on the boat?
Yes, sir. Everybody except the man's electrician. And he's just now going up the ladder.
Have you made your rounds?
Yes, sir. Everything ships in. What is the matter?
Be quiet.
Yes, sir. Do you hear something?
I said be quiet. You hear something?
But it couldn't be. There's no one now on the boat.
You're sure of that?
Yes, sir.
You set the alarms?
Yes, sir.
Wait. Look at the dials. That red light. Someone is in the full back room. Come on.
Commander, what you do?
I'm going to find out who that is, what he's doing, how he got on board, why he didn't get off when the workman left.
Let me go ahead, Commander. I have my gun.
So about it. You say the master electrician's gone?
Yes, sir. So I'm going up the ladder like this, too.
Here. This is the door. Quiet.
You hear it? There's someone inside.
Ready when I give the word. I'll open the door and rush him. Get your gun. Ready?
All ready, Commander. Right behind you. Now.
Good evening, Commander. The Shark has been waiting.
Oh!
White, what happened? Yes? Nobody has any idea. Sometime later, the watchman came into the battery room alone and called the guard. Not a trace of Richards.
Murdered?
You tell me, Kent, and I hope you will. Take the first plane to Newport News. Get right on the job, and don't tell anyone who you are. If they catch you, let me know. Otherwise, report as Grayson did every day at 8. Find Richards, Kent. Find Grayson,
and find the shark.
Take a plane to Newport News? I don't think so. Not Superman. A plane takes 3 hours. It was 10 o'clock when I left. 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll be there in 5 minutes more. There's Chesapeake Bay. There's Cape Henry. And there's the Navy Yard. Going down now. Down into the sea like a fish. Down alongside the Y boat. To hear what's going on inside that shell of steel. Down. Down. Down.
So far, Francis, all was well. You're sure they don't suspect?
Not a one, my friend.
And don't call me Carlos. Someone might hear.
Shall I say shark?
Are you a fool? Call me nothing, whatever. You say they don't suspect?
No, not they. They questioned me most closely. I explained what I knew. I said I had followed the commander of the battery.
Excellent, Fritz. And then?
What else? I woke up from having been hit on the head. Where else?
They believed you.
Why not, Count? I mean, why shouldn't they believe me? It was true.
So it was, my Fritz. And you see now how wise I was to tap you with the ball. Otherwise?
Otherwise, I might have been spared the head.
Never mind. In a good cause, Fritz. What was that?
What?
That scraping noise outside the hull.
Nothing. There's no one aboard but ourselves. The boat is deserted.
Except for us. The master electrician and his helper.
Where's the commander?
He is, as well as he could be.
Nearby? And dead?
Oh, no, not nearby. And not dead. Not yet. But soon, my friends. Quite soon.
How so?
He's in a little cave, my friend. Down the coast. In the only cliff of rocks you can find for 50 miles. And the only cave.
What happens to him?
The tide, Fritz. Twice a day, tide. And it fills the cave completely.
And the commander is there in the cave?
I trust so. If my orders have been carried out. And they usually are. Yes, he is there, Fritz. It is now close to 11. At 11:15, the tide is high. And at 12... At 12, my Fritz.
Yes. What happens at 12?
Listen. That noise again. Outside the hull. Almost as if fingers of steel were scraping along the plates. Come on, no more talking. The wrench, Fritz. And the pliers. Very little time to wait. Now. United States Navy?
How did you...
No time for that. Tell me quick. When are they launching that submarine?
How did you know that?
Tell me.
What day is today?
Friday.
Friday?
Yes.
Good Lord. What time is it?
Close to noon, lacking 15 minutes or less. Hold up, man. What's the matter?
The submarine. They're launching it at noon today.
What? With the shark and his friends still aboard?
They swore it would never be launched. I know that. They warned me they'd stop it at the last minute.
And they will. They're still there, setting their fuse. I heard them. Quick, quick.
Here, put me down. What are you doing?
Back to Newport News, both of us.
You can't. We'd never make it. Even in a plane.
In a plane? No. But with Superman? Give me your arms, quick.
What are you doing? Put me down.
Commander Richards, we're off. Up in the air. Higher. Higher. Newport News by noon.
And there they go. Commander Richards under the arm of Superman, who shoots through space with the speed of light, flies back toward Newport News, where the shark plans to blow up the Y-boat, America's newest submarine, at exactly noon. Will they arrive in time? Can they prevent the launching? Tune in tomorrow and follow the story. And meanwhile, remember, tomorrow, same time, same station.
Up in the sky, look!
It's a plane!
It's a plane! It's Superman!
Hi, this is Keith, your host at the Retro Radio Podcast. And here's one way how you can support the podcast. Visit our homepage, retro-otr.com, and over on the right-hand sidebar, you will see our Retro Radio tip jar. There's an icon of a piggy bank, and right below it is a PayPal button. Just click on the PayPal button, and you can go to PayPal and make a donation of any size at that location. PayPal is fast and easy and safe and secure even. So click it today and make your donation, and we thank you for your support.
The Blank Company presents... The Adventures of Superman, eighth wonder of the modern world, marvel of physical strength and endurance beyond anything humanity has ever known, miraculous visitor from another planet, moving on Earth to aid the weak and helpless, rescue the suffering, bring help to brave and devoted men who serve their country. And if you too would be a Superman, and now, Superman. Yesterday we left Superman in desperate straits. Agents of a strange and foreign power are conspiring to blow up the Y-boat, newest of American submarines, which the Navy plans to launch at exactly noon. Gagged and bound, Commander Richards, USN, in charge of construction, has been spirited away to a tidal cave to await death at high water. As we continue our story today, an amazing figure hurtles through space, faster than a bullet, in a series of tremendous bounds. Red cloak streaming out behind, yellow shield on his breast catching the light of the sun, Superman heads toward the submarine base with Commander Richards in his arms.
You're all right. Perfectly safe.
Who are you? Where are you taking
me? Never mind who I am. I'm taking you back to your submarine.
But how? There isn't time.
What time is the launching?
Exactly noon.
It's now 11:45. 15 minutes to go, Commander. Don't look down.
I can't believe what's happening. It's insane. Not possible.
Thousands of miles an hour. That's not 100 miles to go, Commander. Hi, it won't take us a minute. Look, I'm slowing down already. Slanting toward the sea.
Hold on. Don't drop me.
Don't worry. If I did, I'd dive after you. Look, Commander. Slowing down. Know what I'm going to do?
What?
Circle around and see what's doing. If you're right, your friend the shark is planting his stuff for the big blowout.
If that's the case, speed up again.
I thought you were afraid.
I am... But I'm more afraid of what'll happen if we don't get to the submarine base by noon.
You're a brave man, Commander. And that's why I'm helping you. Look, up there ahead. Know where you are now?
Hey, it's the base. At the head of the inlet.
Right. The submarine base. 9,000 feet down. Hang on this time, Commander. We're going to dive.
No. It's killing me. I can't breathe.
Wait. Turn your face this way. There, how's that?
But
tell me something, quick. Is that the Y-boat there at the dock?
I don't see. Too far off.
It is. There are people waiting. Men coming off the deck.
That means they're ready.
Not much time to go. You hear the
shark say where he be?
Aboard, in the battery room, till the very last minute. They're going to wire the controls. And when the bottle swings against the bow...
I understand. It fires the atom bomb. And by that time, the shark and his friends will be out of the way. Look, Commander, that boat's in the water.
Only part of it. The rest is on the ways.
Quick, is there an entrance underwater? Torpedo lock, porthole, anything like that? Quick, man.
Yes, but why...
We've got to get there. Get there unseen and destroy that bomb. And you know how we're going to do it? We're going to swim. We'll be torpedoes ourselves.
You can't. There's an observation window, but it's locked.
How big is it?
3 feet square. At a foot thick? That's no use.
Think not? Just wait, Commander. Wait and watch what happens. What is the window open on?
Stern torpedo room.
Can we close it off? We break in, so will the ocean.
There's the bulkhead. But you can't even reach the submarine. They won't let you pass.
I said we were swimming. Both of us.
No, wait. Stop. You'll drown me. They'll smother.
No, you won't. Not with me. Superman's friends don't drown. We're diving down and swimming to that boat underwater, Commander. And here we go. Down. 1,000 feet. 800. 400. 100. Hang on, Commander. We're hitting the sea.
That should do it. Almost ready, I think.
Good, my Fritz. Excellent. So when these Yankees bring down their champagne, their X-boat or Y-boat or whatever they call it will be no more.
What is the time?
12:05. In exactly 5 minutes, it will be noon, Fritz, when the launching will be made. With champagne and what else?
Very good, sir, but what about us?
We walk off at the last moment like Hungarians, my Fritz. Two workmen applying the finishing touches. And how true.
And stay on the dock to see what happens.
No. There will be no dock in Brazil. No dock, no Y boat, and even very little submarine base. You and I will leave at once by motor, then by plane. Wait. What was that?
I heard nothing.
A scraping sound outside the hull.
The boat moving on the tide against the dock.
Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of the tide, about now our good friend the commander should also be moving to a higher and we trust more ornamental sphere.
He will drown in
his cave. Assuredly he will drown, my Fritz. For being too clever and finding out too much. Wouldn't that have gone hurry?
Let us see, sir. Applying on the contact.
So, one moment. Touchy things, these atoms. With a force of 1,000 tenet shells.
Not so hard. If it should explode now.
Be easy, Fritz. Be easy. To explode, this bomb needs to be toasted in champagne.
It is truly very
perfectly. When the bottle hits the bow, the firing pin makes contact with the wire. This spark here in the battery room leads to the bomb and boot.
Another minute gone,
Pierce, and so are we. All finished. Out of the top. Three minutes to make the dock. Enter our motor and be off. Sharp work.
This way, sir.
Stop. Stop. Lock the door as you leave.
What for? No time. All right, look out.
Yeah. Again, I hear that scraping outside.
Leave them. Don't stop while they're alive.
Right, my friends. Right as always. Come along. Two wireless workmen in their dungarees. And may the Yankees enjoy their lunch.
Told you it would. One more will do it. Watch this, Commander.
lights off. You pulled the door off his face.
Yes, I'll wait.
Where is it? I don't see anything.
What are the batteries?
That, there in those racks. But which one have they used? I can't make out.
Hold them down. Down on the floor.
No, no, don't do that. If it's nitroglycerin, you'll touch it off. Look for wires.
The whole room's full of wires. Which ones don't belong?
I don't know. Can't tell without a blueprint.
No time for blueprints now, Commander. Look at the clock.
1:12. 1 minute to go.
You've got to find the right wire, Commander. The one leading from the valve plate where the bottle will strike. Can't afford to miss it now.
Check what you can. Hurry. Hurry. Where are you going?
Do what you can. If you don't find the connection in 30 seconds, it'll be too late.
Come back here. Don't run out.
I'm not running out. There's just one more chance. A chance we can stop the shark at the last second. Listen, Commander. Hear that? It's the chime at headquarters. Bell for the hour. Find those wires, Commander. Find it now.
There we are, Miss Nichols. That's what we're waiting for.
I'm so excited. Is that the hour, Andrew?
Almost. The chime goes off a few seconds before the hour. But you'd better get ready.
I'm ready, Admiral. I've been to launchings before, though I must say never to one quite so, well, so select as this one. My gracious, what was that?
Well, what, Miss Nichols?
I thought I heard something down there inside the boat.
Oh, no chance of that. It's deserted. Those two workmen you just saw were the last men off.
I could have sworn I heard a noise, Admiral.
Impossible, really. Now then, Miss Nichols, all ready if you are.
Admiral, look!
What?
The boat, the submarine. It moved. I saw it. It shook.
Never mind that. It's just a wave. Now, here's the champagne. Remember to swing it down hard, high up over your head, then down.
I christen you... What? Why, what happened?
What? What the... What's going on here?
Admiral, the boat! Look, Admiral, look!
On a high road overlooking the submarine base, a long gray car screams to a halt. The shark leaps out to gaze down in unbelief and shouts wildly to his companion. And on the dock itself, a scene of sudden shattering confusion. The bottle upraised for christening, fate trembling in the balance. In the submarine, Commander Richards, waiting grimly for the final moment, stares death in the face as the fatal wire remains unfound. And Superman, where is he gone? What has he done? For the next installment of this thrilling new radio serial, tune in again tomorrow, same time, same station. And in the meantime, here's a final word. If you enjoy hearing about Superman, don't forget that you can follow his adventures each month in the pages of that exciting comic book, Action Comics, on sale at your local newsstand. Remember, tomorrow, same time, same station, the makers of Blankarine will again bring you...
Up in the sky, look!
It's a bird!
It's a plane! It's Superman!
Wow, that was a classic.
Well, he certainly did wonders for me.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.
And so, Snow White and the Prince lived happily ever after.
I'm glad for him.